Good morning, church. Today I felt led to share with you from Luke chapter 8. While you're turning there, I'll tell you a little bit about how I got here today. On our mission trip this year to Lenox, I'd had an overwhelming feeling that maybe I was supposed to surrender to the ministry. Telling nobody, not even my wife, I prayed that if I was supposed to do that, that he would show me. Yes, I'm from Missouri, and I'm hard-headed. So I tell my wife when we get home from the trip, and we've been home a couple of weeks, and Lisa Smith, not knowing what my big mouth had said, came up to me and said that Youth Sunday was coming up, and that she had asked some of the youth if there was somebody that they wanted to hear. And that was me. If that wasn't showing me, I don't really know what else God could have done. Now that I'm as nervous as can be, kind of wished he could have sent me to a church of 3 or 4 people, maybe. But here I am. So if you would, please stand as we read from God's Word. I'm going to be reading chapter 8, verses 1 through 8. After this, Jesus traveled about from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. Mary, called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had come out. Joanna, the wife of Cusa, the manager of Herod's household. Susanna, and many others. These women were helping to support them out of their own means. While a large crowd was gathered and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told this parable. A farmer went out to sow his seeds, and as he scattered the seeds, some fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds of the air ate it up. Some fell on rock, and when it came up, the plants withered because it had no moisture. Other seeds fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still other seeds fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day, and we just thank you for this opportunity to gather in your house today, Lord. And I just pray that you would just calm my nerves, just give me the strength. And I just pray that hearts would be one to you today, Lord. Just we thank you again for all that you give us. In Jesus' name, amen. In the chapter of Luke spends much of his time telling us about common people's encounters with Christ, through which we see Jesus' heart for his people. By the time we get to chapter 8, Jesus' ministry is well underway. In verse 1 says, after Jesus traveled about from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of God, the 12 were with him. Here we see a perfect example of mission work. Jesus wasn't by himself. He had the support of his followers and brothers, just like when we go out to share the word with others. It's easier to share God's word and do his work when you're not alone. For example, the Emmanuel mission trip, mission teams, and the HBA mission teams, the Lord is able to do far more with our groups than we could have accomplished alone. Many hands make of light work. In verse 2, it says, "And also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases, Mary called Magdalene, from the seven demons had come out." And half of verse 3 says, "Joanna, the wife of Cusa, the manager of Herod's household, Susanna, and many others." This shows that God can call anyone to go and witness to whoever needs to hear his word. Mission work calls people from every profession, of every age, and every skill set to go to his people. It doesn't have anything to do with what you're good at, what you're comfortable with. It has more to do with being where God wants you to be when he tells you to go. By answering his call, God does the impossible, and we get to participate. We have seen this time and time again on mission trips where we show up, we see the job at hand, and we think there's no way it can be done with the resources that we have or the time that we have to get it done. God shows up when we do. The rest of verse 3 says, "The women were helping to support them out of their own means." We have been on several mission trips, and I can guarantee that everyone has a purpose, whether you think so or not. Even the small things that are done have great effects. Many people that go on mission work are sacrificing in some way or another. When we let go of the worries, we get to experience the blessings of mission trip. When you do what God asks, he provides. There are examples all around you. Just ask anyone who has went. Now, to start the parable of the sower, verses 4 and 5. A parable that I'm sure you have all heard several times. While a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told this parable. A farmer went out to sow his seeds. As he scattered the seeds, some fell along the path, it was trampled on, and the birds ate it up. Let this verse in light of mission work. If we think about the simple farmer going out to sow the seeds, it might seem like a meaningless task. Just like in chapter 8, verse 11, the devil will do everything he can do to get you to think that you're not good enough to go, or what are you going to do? You're not good at anything. Again, that is the devil pulling you from the truth. There is always something for everyone that will make a difference in bringing people to Christ. In verse 6 it says, "Some fell on the rock, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture." Some people don't go on missions or mission trips because they think, "What's in it for me? It's not about you. It's about God using you to reach his people." I can assure you, if your heart is in the right place and focus on God's plan, you will get as good of blessing as the people you are witnessing to or greater. I have yet to be on a mission trip that I didn't feel that I received a greater blessing than what we left. Sometimes the blessing is realizing that what you were asked to give up was the understanding that you are far better off than those that he called you to serve. On to verse 7. "Other seeds fell among thorns with group. Other seeds fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants." In today's fast-paced world that we live in, we don't have time to give help to those people. I have heard all the excuses. We have things that we need to do first. I have already done that. I'm already involved in other church functions. You don't see me asking for help. They are not grateful anyway. There is nothing for me to do. These are all excuses that the devil gives us to feel better about ignoring the situation. I'm not saying that everybody is called to go across the world. But I would question that you haven't had the feeling to help someone in some form without expecting something in return. What excuse are you using when you are asked to go? I challenge you to truly listen to what God is telling you to do. And I pray that if he is telling you to go, that you wouldn't ignore it. On to verse 8. "Still other seeds fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown." Back to the bigger picture. Like it says in verse 15, the seeds on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it by persevering, producing a crop. If you have a heart for God and are doing as he asks, you will be blessed beyond measure here and in heaven. I know that it is hard to give up your time, but you must remember, it's not yours to give up anyway. Remember in Matthew 28:19-20. "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." This might be the shortest sermon you've ever listened to. If you are here today and the Lord has been working on you to go and share his word here or somewhere else, don't let Satan trick you into thinking you're not good enough. You won't regret doing this will, his will. And if you haven't come, and if you haven't come to know him, or you are missing out on the biggest blessing of all. Come and get right with the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, again, we thank you for this day. We just thank you for getting to come today, Lord, and I just pray that if there is one lost soul here today, that they would just come to know you and to see the biggest blessing that there really is. I just thank you for the youth and their willingness to step up. And I just thank you for all that this church does in this community and other communities around. Just be with us, guide and direct us, and keep us safe. In Jesus' name, amen.